You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today we are joined by Mr. Benjamin R. Case, the CEO of Focused on Fundraising, Inc., a company that provides consulting services and online training for fundraising and nonprofit management. Mr. Case, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Wonderful to be with you, Eric. Thank you for this opportunity.
And you're certainly more than welcome, and it is our pleasure. So tell us, for starters, and a good place to start, what does it take to become a highly successful fundraiser?
Yeah, well, that's the main point of the book that we have, 21 Tips for Highly Successful Fundraisers, the main message, which is that lessons from fundraising and from the not-for-profit world apply directly to the for-profit business, to the entrepreneur who's your listener, and even to life. And much of what it takes to be a successful fundraiser, those are the same skills that it takes to be successful in sales, successful in business, successful as a manager, and successful as a leader. You mentioned that we do online training. We did a very successful webinar called The Daily Dozen, Habits of Highly Successful Fundraisers, that's based on the research that we've done about what does it take to be a highly successful fundraiser. And there's some skills that cross over, clearly. Much of what it takes to be successful in fundraising, as I said, are the same skills that it takes. So let me just mention a few rather than all dozen of them. The first one is you have to have high emotional intelligence, a high EQ. You have to know yourself and be comfortable with yourself so that you can build trust with people. Absolutely critical for you to do that, whether you're in business or whether you're in the not-for-profit world. Communication is obviously critical. You have to be able to communicate well. You've got to be able to paint a vision. You've got to be able to talk about what the product or service is that you're selling, how it's going to positively impact people. You have to be able to listen well. I think this is especially important in fundraising, and I know it's important in life and business. I tell people all the time, you have two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionally. So we have to be asking good questions and listening well to what people have to say. You have to be able to build excellent relationships. Fundraising is really a relationship-based business. I do mostly major gift fundraising. Those are the lessons that I work and try to teach with the people that that I help. So you've got to be excellent at building those relationships. And then you have to be able to ask for the gift. You have to be able to ask for the order if you're in business. I teach people to always be ready to ask. It doesn't mean that that we're going to be asking every time we see people. As a matter of fact, I think that's a negative thing. You want to be building relationship with them so that you're not asking all the time, but you always want to be ready to ask so that if the opportunity presents itself, you have in mind what it is you want to be asking the donor to give or asking your buyer to buy, so that you're always ready to ask. And those are skills that we find in my research are absolutely critical for us to have to be successful in fundraising. And as I said, I think they cross over, and they clearly do cross over into business and in life.
Well, that's certainly kicking things off with a big bang. Really good stuff there. Now, why do people make charitable donations? Touch on that if you would.
You know, we've been doing this for 41 years, and it's obviously everyone has their own motivation. A lot of people think that taxes are the main reason why people make major gifts, but in fact, it really revolves around issues that are much more important to improving humanity. Taxes show up maybe sixth, seventh, or eighth on the list of the reasons why people make gifts. They're really trying to do the right thing. They identify, they get engaged with the mission of an organization, whether that be healthcare, if they're concerned about cancer or heart disease or some other healthcare issue. A lot of people have an alma mater, so they're engaged in some way, shape, or form with an educational institution. Obviously, there are huge needs within the social services across all of the world. To be able to support organizations that are helping provide better lives for people. And that's what people do, is they get engaged with that organization and they identify with the organization, and then they express their care for humanity, which is actually what philanthropy means. Philanthropy means a love of humanity. They express that by being involved and by making gifts to the organization. Many of the business leaders and the wealthiest people that I know, they tell me the wisest investment that they've made have been in the nonprofit organizations that they support, because of the impact that these nonprofits are making in transforming lives and in saving lives. They want to have that kind of positive impact on the world. And I believe, and I think these people believe also, that capitalism carries with it a responsibility. Making money carries with it a responsibility to care about the world, the larger world that they live in. And that's the biggest reason that I see why people make gifts, is because they want to have a positive impact on the world.
Tell us, Mr. Case, how do you change a no to a yes from customers and donors?
You know, since your audience is entrepreneurs, it occurs to me that it's not just customers and donors that say no, it's investors that say no. And how do you turn that no into a yes? First, I think it's important to have the right attitude about any no, and that is to understand that a no is normally not a no. It's an opportunity to learn more about the donor, learn more about the customer. So we need to be fearless about getting a no and not seeing it as a no, but rather as an opportunity to better understand the needs of the customers or the wants of a donor. In fundraising and in business, no often means not now, or not for that amount, or not for that project. And so there are three steps that we encourage folks to go through to turn a no to a yes. And that is, first of all, understand what does the prospect, what does the donor, what does the buyer actually mean? And probe for that information and for that clarification. Ask questions that are trying to seek, is there something specific that the person is reacting to or concerned about? And listen to clues for what actually motivates the person, what obstacles there may be to getting the gift or making the sale. Then based on that information, we want to understand what are the next steps. Do they need more information? Do they need more time to consider what it is we've asked them to do? Maybe they need the boss to sign off on it, and there's something that we need to do around that. They may need something where it's a larger amount of product or a larger gift or a smaller gift. There may be some alteration that we have to do there. There may be some endorsement from others. We may need to bring the CEO in or someone else that to really help close the sale. So let's understand and agree on the next step. And then the third step that we encourage folks to do is any changes that need to be made in the business or in the nonprofit, make those changes based on that feedback. I believe that donors and customers and investors are really smart and they're savvy. We should be listening to them. Now, obviously, we can't chase every concern that we have, but we can be listening for consistent concerns and then fine-tuning our project, our program, our product based on what we hear. I believe it's critical for us to use a no and that candid feedback that we hear to glean for our organization the things that we need to be doing to make it stronger. We also want to be asking these questions, Eric, to keep the door open to build a deeper relationship with the buyer or with the donor. And that also sends a message that we really value people. We value them as more than just a dollar sign. We really value their opinions and their thoughts. And that then, that approach then, we believe, leads to what we want to hear more often, which is yes, when we're asking people for a gift or when we're asking them to buy our product.
And a truckload of advice. We can't thank you enough for that. Today, we're joined by Benjamin R. Case, CEO of Focused on Fundraising, Inc., a company that provides consulting services and online training for fundraising and nonprofit management here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Mr. Case, how do you deal with unhappy customers and donors?
We're in business and nonprofit world in life, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to have something that goes wrong. We really encourage people to first understand that they are doing a good work. Make sure that they're doing a good work, because you've got to have a good story to tell when you run into an unhappy customer. We want to make sure that we're informing them about the things that we're doing that are good. And then we really want to listen to their concern. Again, going back to turning the no into the yes, the same idea. I really like to send in a fundraiser with high empathy skills to understand what is going wrong here, what made this person unhappy, and to listen to them. We're not there to solicit. We're not there to ask for an order. We're there to really hear what is going wrong. And then from there, understand what caused it, make sure we apologize. I think that's critical for us to be able to move forward. I like to really ask the question, what can I do today to resolve the situation? And then listen to what they say and agree on a course of action. You may not be able to do exactly what they want to do, but let's agree on a course of action to move forward. I always make sure that I follow up, thank the donor, let them know what we're doing for to move forward with what we're doing to correct whatever situation was wrong. I always like to discuss whatever issue was wrong with my team so that we're not replicating that mistake if there's something like that. I have seen by using a process where you're really trying to listen to the donor or listen to the customer that you can turn your unhappy donors, your unhappy customers into your prized advocates, which is what we want to have there. It's really nice, I think, also to show some appreciation to the person for giving you that kind of feedback and for, you know, doing business with you or making a gift to you. Whatever you can be doing to say thank you, I think is always appreciated.
Yeah, no doubt there, and some tremendous feedback as well. Lastly, how can you apply the advice you share in your book to business and in life?
The last tip in our 21 Tips for Highly Successful Fundraisers refers to a celebration. Angela, my wife, and I went out to a very nice restaurant one time, and the waiter came up to us and said, "Are you here celebrating anything?" And I said, "Yes, we're celebrating 36 years, 1 month, and 2 days of marriage," which was absolutely true. It was the exact time since our wedding. Even though I said that as a joke, the waiter took it seriously. He complimented us. He gave us some complimentary champagne. He congratulated us for the meal. He brought us a beautiful complimentary dessert with a candle lit on it to make sure it was all official. I took a picture of that. My wife is beautiful. Posted it on Facebook with the candle and the dessert in front of her. Posted it on Facebook as a joke saying we were celebrating 36 years, 1 month, and 2 days of marriage. And I started to get all these congratulatory notes from my friends. So the tip here and the tip for life and for fundraising and for business people is something that most of us don't do very well, and that is to take time to celebrate. Every day is a celebration. We need to make sure that we're sharing that celebration with others because it makes it more fun. It allows others to join in the celebration. So for life, for business, for not-for-profit work, we all need to be celebrating.
And that is a beautiful way to conclude today's session, and I can't thank you enough for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated. If listeners wanted to get more information on Focus on Fundraising, Inc. online, where's the best place that they could get those details?
FocusedOnFundraising.com. That's F-O-C-U-S-E-D, FocusedOnFundraising.com. They can find our book at Amazon.com. I'm on LinkedIn as Benjamin R. Case at Focus on Fundraising. They can also sign up for our tips for highly successful fundraisers, which apply to management and life, as we talked about. They can find that at FocusedOnFundraising.com also.
And that certainly works. Again, Mr. Case, all the best. And once again, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Continued success to you and the company.
Thanks, Eric.
We've been speaking with Mr. Benjamin R. Case, the CEO of Focused on Fundraising, Inc., a company that provides consulting services and online training for fundraising and nonprofit management. And for further details, simply visit FocusedFundraising.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.